other types of business torts that are actionable include unfair competition, defamation, tortious interference. That's where you'll find an injury and a remedy that's not the result of harm to the market. Where you have harm to the market, you have an antitrust claim, and without it, you don't. So, in the last year, we've seen a resurgence, really even in the last few months, a resurgence of creative antitrust ideas, some of which are things we've seen in the long-distant past that are now being cast in new light. Some things are continuing developments in disruptive fields. So, for instance, one thing is a patent thicket. That's where a patent owner has surrounded a product or its technology with so many patents, it's made it almost impassable to get through. When a patentee just seeks above market royalties, you know, a lot of times, if the patent owner is acting alone, that's that patent owner's right to do that. But that type of immunity is not any broader than the patent owner acting alone. When a patentee is accused of failing to comply with FRAND obligations, that's fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory commitment to license that they've made on a standard essential patent, that's actionable. And we're starting to see now something that patent owners have complained about for quite a while, and that is when the implementer, the manufacturer of the telecom network or the handset, is stonewalling the patent owner in terms of taking a license. Okay. Now, whoa. Okay. We just flashed through. Could you go back a screen? I lost control for a minute. It happens. It's a pandemic. We all lose control from time to time. But in any event, I have my list of cases to watch. I'm going to be talking about some of these cases as we go through this. And I wanted to give you a list up front so that you'd have them for easy reference, because that's about the only thing we're going to talk about that's easy in this speech. So, as I said, the patent thicket issue arises when the patentee has more patents than any accused infringer can beat. And it, the classic definition of this was something I was involved in 25 years ago as a little bit younger lawyer than I am now. And that is where the patent owner's counsel said, look, we have 4,000 patents on this technology. You can't beat all 4,000. So you're going to have to pony up. Ironically, we sued him for antitrust violations and ultimately got a good settlement. There are two types of patent thickets, and they involve very different considerations. One is what I'll call inorganic. And that's when an owner has purchased or aggregated a large number of patents, and that portfolio that's been created in order to block a technology or just to leverage off of each other in licensing is dealt with as a very much as an antitrust issue. An organic patent thicket is different. An organic patent thicket is when an operating company applies for and obtains a lot of patents around its product. So these are patents that the company has gotten from their own efforts. Now, let's look at the kinds of problems they raise. So right now, there is pending an antitrust lawsuit that is testing the limits of the patent thicket for inorganic patent aggregation. Intellectual Ventures is an example of this. And the allegation here that Intel's made against a litigation finance company, Fortress, which is owned by a big Japanese company in large part, is that this finance company has been funding and manipulating patent assertion entities to leverage off of each other's portfolios or within the entity to leverage off of that entity's portfolio. We have what we call Section 1 claims. This is where you have at least two people involved in the conduct. And Fortress isn't just a defendant. It's clients or the people it's loaned money to who are patent enforcement entities are the other party. So, for example, Unilock. is a big Fortress client, and Unilock is named as one of the defendants in this case. The aggregation, according to this case, occurs in the electronic device industry, patents you need to make computers, tablets, handsets, et cetera, et cetera. And it involves both standard essential patents that might be under a FRAND obligation and non-essential patents. There's also something that we don't see much in antitrust litigation between private parties, and especially not in IP, and that is a Clayton Act Section 7 claim for aggregation of patents that substantially lessens competition or tends to create a monopoly. Section 1 of the Sherman Act, as most of you know, is really a criminal law that has a civil cause of action in Section 4 of the Clayton Act. Clayton Act Section 7 has no criminal analog. It rather simply provides a remedy where someone in the industry has collected assets, and it doesn't have to be patents. It can be any kind of assets, or more commonly, they're going to acquire the stock of another company or merge with another company, and by buying up all the assets, and also in the alternative where you're going to see a merger, competition's reduced. And that's the test for Clayton Section 7.